A new reason for parents to encourage their teens to unplug. A new report finding nearly 3/4 of American teenagers say they feel happy or peaceful when they don't have their phones with them. 17-year-old Malik Harris says he sees the benefits of disconnecting.
I'm not just sitting there strolling, scrolling, and doing whatever, wasting time. I get more active with the people around me. I can kind of just relax and be in the moment.
Despite those positive feelings when they put the phone down, most teens are not limiting their screen time, with 38% admitting they spend too much time on their phones.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. Your life connected.
There's no doubt about it. Very different generation. One of our video guys, Dennis Brooks, stopped by. And he says, you're talking smartphones? And he says, yeah. He says, you know what I found strange? I said, what's that? He says, Bill Gates, a lot of these guys who were in the tech world, they wouldn't let their kids have smartphones. They developed the technology, the software, all this stuff. They wouldn't let their kids have it. Yet smartphones are everywhere, right? Can't escape them. Our culture's become so totally dependent on them. I actually think we're addicted to them. You know, imagine putting your phone down. Maggie, how does it work? I don't know if there's software on the phone that tells you how many times you look at your cell phone. I think on the iPhone there is. You know, how many times you
screen time?
How much screen time you do per day or something like that. It's pretty amazing when you look at how many times you've tapped into your phone. And now, look, they're an intimate part of our life. You do everything from navigation to listen to radio or podcasts to scan QR codes. Right? It's wild. It's integrated into culture, so we kind of need them. Question is, how healthy are they? We've all seen parents in the grocery stores when the kids start acting up. What do? They hand them the tablet or they hand them the smartphone to keep them quiet. That kind of electronic dependence, though, I believe is doing something to their brains. And in fact, Dr. Leonard Sachs is going to be joining me in a minute. I want to get his take on this. There's a new book out. It's called Anxious Generation: How the Great Rewiring of Childhood is Causing an Epidemic of Mental Illness. It's from a psychologist named Jonathan Haidt, H-A-I-D-T. So if you want it, do a quick search for The Anxious Generation by Jonathan, H-A-I-D-T. It's at New York University. That's where he's from. The idea is that phones are actually messing with kids' brains. It's rewiring them. And it's causing consequences, serious consequences. And he argues the psychological harm is with internalized issues, anxiety and depression. I could not agree more. And the statistics back them up. Starting back in 2010, when smartphones became far more available and social media took off, what do you see? You see rates of major depressive episodes skyrocketing. And guess for who? Especially girls. Emergency rooms for self-harm went up sixfold for girls. Rates of suicide among boys doubled. Oh, well, that's a U.S. thing. No, it's not. It's not just a U.S. thing. The same thing's going on in the U.K. and in Australia and in Canada and in New Zealand and all across Europe, even in Latin America and Asia. They're now seeing these large increases, what they call school alienation. So in 2015, 1 in 5 American teen girls use social media more than 40 hours a week. By 2023, okay, what, 7, 8 years later? What do we see? More than 46% of these are using, they've reported being online almost all of the time. So what do we do about it? How true is this? Let's get some insight if you're concerned too. Dr. Leonard Sachs is here for you. Maybe your kids are going through this. Maybe you have some regrets as a parent. I don't know. It's great to have back with us a regular contributor here. Dr. Sachs is a psychologist and a physician in Exton, Pennsylvania. And by the way, he wrote a number of books, which as a parent, you should read. Why Gender Matters. Boys Adrift is another one. Girls on the Edge and the Collapse of Parenting are just a few of them. You can check him out at Leonard Sachs. That's SAX.com, LeonardSachs.com. Doctor, it's great to have you with me today. Good afternoon.
Thanks for inviting me.
Let me just start with the data. I've always believed that when we saw the spike in anxiety, there had to be something physiological going on, not just psychological. And we see parents giving kids smartphones and tablets all the time. What happens? Tell me about some of these studies, and does the brain get rewired? What happens, and why are cell phones so poisonous?
Yeah, so Professor Haidt calls it the phone-based childhood, and I think that's a very compelling phrase. You know, as a family doctor, I see these parents come in with their three-year-olds, and the parent has handed the kid the iPhone or the iPad to anesthetize the child. And Professor Haidt makes two really important points early on in the book. First of all, that kids need unstructured outdoor play with other kids. It's true of three-year-olds, it's true of eight-year-olds, it's true of 14-year-olds. And as recently as 20 years ago, they used to get it. But this transition to the phone-based childhood means that many kids now are not getting it. And as Professor Haidt points out in his book, a lot of parents are scared to let their kids outdoors without, you know, someone watching right over them. They think someone's going to snatch the child. And they think it's safer for the kid to be indoors looking at a screen. And Professor Haidt argues this is a fundamental confusion on the part of American parents right now, that they think it's better for a kid to be looking at an iPad than to be playing outdoors. And he makes a very strong case that we have it wrong. Your kid needs to be outdoors playing with other kids, unstructured play by themselves or with other kids, and they should not be looking at screens. And he presents lots and lots of evidence in support of that claim, that that transition away from a play-based childhood to a phone-based childhood has caused kids to become more fragile, less secure, and more prone to anxiety, depression, and disengagement. And then he makes three key recommendations. No smartphones until ninth grade. No phones in the school at all, ever. And no social media until age 16. And again, he presents lots of research to support those recommendations. Where the book comes up short is he doesn't give any parents any or hardly any advice as to how to do this. How do you change behavior in the home? He does talk about the collection action problem, which is a term that psychologists use, meaning if you ask your 14-year-old to give up her social media, she's going to say, yeah, but all the other kids are on it. And indeed, there's good evidence that when you ask 14-year-olds, how would you feel if they shut down all the social media tomorrow for everybody? 14-year-olds think that would be a good thing. They realize that this stuff is toxic. Yeah. But if you ask one kid to drop out, well, no kid wants to be the weirdo, the outlier, who's clueless, who's not in the loop. So how do you actually get it done? That's where the book's a little weak. Yep. And that's where I would respectfully offer my book, The Collapse of Parenting, which is all about empowering parents to do the right thing, even if the other parents aren't.
Sitting here as you're talking about this, and I'm thinking, ninth grade is what he says is the time to give a kid a phone. But are there particular groups, age groups, or demographics that have more susceptibility to the negative effects of smartphone usage? I would think giving it to a young child, a toddler, to entertain them might do more damage rewiring, or maybe that's not the case. Maybe it's someone in adolescence. Has there been any data, any study done on looking at early age exposure?
Good research. Researchers at the University of Michigan looked at toddlers, 2-3 years old, and looked to, and simply observed what parents are giving their 2-year-olds phones and iPads to look at, to watch a SpongeBob SquarePants video, and what parents are not. And then you come back a year or two later, 2 years later, you find that kid whose parents were giving him the SpongeBob SquarePants video to watch, that kid has more trouble controlling himself and more impulsive, less able to control himself than the kid who's not. And the researchers conclude that when a parent has a kid a phone, they're undermining the kid's ability to govern themselves. And what I say to parents is, yeah, it's a little bit stressful to be here at the doctor's office. Talk to your kid, play with your kid, make funny noises, make funny faces. This is your chance to say, hey, we could get through this together. You and me, we're fine. Yeah. Instead, the parent is handing the kid a device and teaching the kid. The unintended message that parent is sending is, hey, when you're stressed, look at a screen. And that's a terribly bad message to send, as Professor Haidt makes very clear in his book. What Professor Haidt is suggesting here is really a minimum. And you can go beyond it. My daughter is 17, And she has never been on social media. Whoa. And she's not on social media now. And she and I went to J. Sarah Catholic High School in San Juan Capistrano, California. And Pat Reedy, the vice president of Mission and Faith, interviewed my daughter and said, so Sarah, you don't have any social media. Why is that? Is that because your father, Dr. Sachs, won't let you? And she said, no, it's because I have a life. And I was very proud of her. Amen. And Pat has posted that podcast online. You can hear her in her own words. As a parent, you want to inspire your kids to see that Instagram and TikTok are not that important. Yeah. That the real world is what matters. And doing things and getting out there and learning things and mastering things, that's valuable. Posting a video on TikTok isn't. It just isn't. And that's what you want to communicate to your kid.
Nicole's in Oak Lawn, Illinois.
Yes, thank you. Well, I want to add into this as a teacher, because I'm a catechist. I'm also a former teacher. Mm-hmm. And I had the same issue where when I try to teach classrooms, it's hard to have kids get off their phones. Mm-hmm. And I would tell them to stay off. And then eventually, at least a few minutes later, I would see them trying to sneak on the phone. And so it's hard for me to stay focused and learning, because they want to stay on it. And as a teacher, same thing. We would tell students to take off the phones, and you could see them trying to sneak out. And sometimes we try to regulate that, but after a while, it was a constant battle. So thank you.
Oh, Nicole, thanks. Doctor, you and I believe Jonathan Haidt also were advocating keeping phones completely out of schools. I bet mm-hmm. it would help teachers like Nicole. Is that even possible today? I mean, should they leave them at the front door in a locker somewhere? I mean,
no. It is certainly possible, and I can say this with confidence because my daughter's school, the Delaware County Christian School, does this. Wow. When you arrive at school, your phone is secured in a locker. The school has the key. You do not have the key. You can pick up the phone at the end of the school day. If a parent needs to reach their kid, they call the office, and the office will get the kid. As the head of school, Dan Steinfeld, said to me, we know where these kids are. We can find them in 30 seconds. If there's a home emergency, it's not a problem. They don't need to carry a phone with them, and they do not.
Anna is in Upland, California. Anna, good afternoon. You're on with Dr. Sachs.
I just wanted to make a comment. We do have a son in high school. He's a junior. My husband and I decided never to buy him a phone because in doing that, you feel that you're giving your child access to the world, when in reality, you're giving the world access to your child.
Ooh, well said. Anna, I love it. I think you're absolutely right. Doctor, you want to respond to that?
Parents don't realize that when you put a smartphone in the hands of a child or teen, that you're opening that child or teen up to all kinds of bad things that you don't want your kid to be involved with. One of the points that John Haidt makes in his book is that parents have it all backwards. Yeah. They're protecting their kids in the real world, but letting them loose online. And he said, you need to do it just the opposite. Let your kid loose in the real world. Let them outdoors to play with friends. But online, you need to lock it down. Yeah. Unfortunately, he never mentions parental monitoring apps, which I think got to be part of this. And I speak to parents about the importance of installing a device. It's great to look at your phone, but what a lot of parents don't realize is a lot of these apps now won't even show up when you look at your phone. So I do encourage parents to install a parental monitoring app.
So one you recommend?
To really know what their kids are doing. The Ethics and Public Policy Center, EPPC, has a great online resource for free.
Great.
Just type in Ethics and Public Policy Center, parental monitoring apps, and they've got 30 pages going through all the different apps available. But something is better than nothing. You got to have something on your kid's phone.
Rick in Bloomington, Indiana. Good afternoon.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I'm an atheist, and sometimes I yell at my radio about some of the things you say. But today, I'm agreeing with you 100%. I'm a middle school teacher, and yeah, I see these kids, just like the first one you just came across, where the principals are fighting with the parents, and it all falls on the parents. You know, I think the appropriate way of saying is, okay, look, no smartphones until the weekends or if there's an emergency, but just get rid of them. I mean, I didn't have one when I was growing up.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm 54 years old. I'm in great shape. Why am I in great shape? Because I'm outside riding bikes. Yeah. I'm lifting weights. I'm running. And that's what you need to do with your kids.
Amen. Hey, Rick, thank you. I'm glad you tuned in. I'm glad you're listening. I hope to hear from you again. I'm delighted. Doctor, I'll let you respond to him. I'll take one more call, and then I'll let you go. Yeah. So go right ahead.
Rick mentioned that he's an atheist. John Hyde also is an atheist. He's very open about that. And I think it weakens his argument, because I can tell you, I've done these workshops at secular public schools, secular independent schools, Catholic schools. It's a much stronger talk when I can speak at a Catholic school. Because when I speak at a Catholic school, I can say, look, Deuteronomy 6, Vishinantam Nevenecha, teach them diligently to your children. That's a commandment. Yeah. It is your responsibility as a parent to exercise your God-given authority to raise your child in the way they should go. Right. You can't say that at a public school. You can't say that at a secular independent school. You just appeal to the research, but then some parent will say, well, this other study didn't find such a big effect of social media. Yeah. And I'll tell you, it's a lot easier to do this talk at the Catholic school.
Amen to that. Tara in San Francisco, thank you for joining us.
Let me just say a couple important things. I'm a frontline warrior, and I see everything out here. Now, if I had kids, I would not let them probably have a computer or phone till 18. Wow. I wanted to say one thing in reference to porn. It is so horrific, and it is the downfall of our society, to tell you the truth, because you have to have the level of purity and honor in your spirit. And when kids learn this, especially boys, there's no commitment. There's no tie to what's true. So what you need to do with your kids is you need to tell them, you know, not just be barking at them, but teach them about the suffering that comes when you don't obey God. Yeah, and I'm sorry, but one last thing to this atheist. The devil is a liar.
Amen to that. Tara, did cell phones affect you negatively? Is that what my call screener was telling me?
Well, you know what? Ever since the computer kind of took over, I mean, let's just say I'm not a spring chicken. Ever since the computers took over, relationships are so impossible. You don't have the one-on-one concern, care, empathy. You just have, in my opinion, the devil raging as he does. And, you know, it's lonely.
Doctor, I'm going to let you have the final word. Thank you, Tara, for your call.
Well, she's absolutely right that porn is huge. Last month, I had the privilege of speaking to boys at a Catholic high school. Very frank conversation. I shared the research with them showing that the more time you look at porn, the more your relationship with an actual woman is undermined. And that relationship is not linear negative. It is quadratic negative. It's huge. But then I also quoted from scripture, from Galatians, where Paul says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that he will reap. If you sow to please the flesh, from the flesh you will reap death. And if you sow to please the Spirit, from the Spirit you will reap eternal life. And then I mentioned this great line from Augustine. St. Augustine in the Confessions says that lust, if not resisted, becomes habit. And habit, if not resisted, becomes necessity. So I tied in the research with the scripture, with the teachings of the fathers and doctors of the church to inspire these kids. And I've got some great photos. The boys loved it. We had such great conversation. They want to have these conversations. And I encourage schools, don't pretend this isn't out there. Yeah. You need to talk to your boys. You need to share with them the riches of the Catholic faith and the Catholic tradition to help boys to flee from pornography.
Well, Doctor, thank you for all that you do. I am deeply grateful. I hope people will go to your website. That's LeonardSax.com. Dr. Leonard Sachs. LeonardSax.com is a website. He's written a number of books. I'm telling you, each one of them will open your world. So check them out. We'll catch up again soon, Doctor, okay? Grateful to have you.
Thanks for inviting me.
God bless you. That's Dr. Leonard Sachs.